Evening, everyone. anyone here for the first time tonight? Any newcomers? All right, speaking to the family. Joel, good to see you. So I'm often told by some of the older members of the congregation, I won't name any names, that I can be hard to understand, and I always blame the microphone. Except last week, I had some youngsters tell me that as well, so it wasn't good. The problem is, the more excited I get, the harder it is to understand me. So the choice is you either understand me and are bored, or you don't, and then hopefully the Holy Spirit does something powerful, you know. So if you don't understand anything I'm saying, ask the Lord to interpret. It may well be tongues here. So I know that there were a few unfaithful few who decided to watch football last week and not come to church. I'll say no more on that. But I, last week, you know, tried to lay a few foundations for tonight. And I just want to repeat two of those things, particularly for tonight. The first, as we think about fear, is that God is not passive about strongholds in our lives. Okay, He is not passive about parts of our lives where we are not experiencing freedom. He's not a passive observer, right? He is diligent and He's engaged in bringing us freedom. And we only have to look to the cross to know His desire for us to be free. Okay, to have life now, life to the full now, flourishing now, freedom now, joy now. And tonight we're going to do some spiritual warfare. Okay, so prepare yourselves for that. There's an element sometimes when we pray in spiritual warfare that we can actually sense the Lord's anger. And that anger is never directed at us. It's only ever directed at Satan and his ways of binding us. Okay? So we're going to pray, and I just say that because I really believe the Lord wants to do business tonight. Okay? This is not an intellectual sermon. This is about us doing some work, okay, together. So the first thing is God is not passive. The second thing, I might say this every Sunday, at no stage, whatever is set up the frontier, at no stage when we are struggling with fear or anxiety, is it ever our fault? Okay? That's never an accusation that has been made from the front. We have the choice to push against it. We have the choice to press into Jesus. Okay? But at no stage, if you start to hear that lie, I want you to bind it and I want you to rebuke it immediately. Do not let it get traction, okay, in your heart. So you'll notice I've come up a little bit earlier tonight because we do want to have a bit of time for ministry, okay? And we're going to do some reflection and some prayer, and then we're going to pray together. Communal. The prayer of the body is so powerful. All right, so we're going to pray en masse. So a couple more preambular points. The more that I wrestle with this topic, the more it feels like a ball of wool that's all been tangled. And I would love, in some ways, I'd love to give a five-hour sermon and pick that apart, okay? But obviously, that's not possible, okay? None of us could take that. I believe there's too much work that the Lord wants to do in us for us to actually be able to do that. So every Sunday, I'm going to try and pick this apart a little bit more. I can't get to everything, and whoever else might preach it can't do everything in a sermon, but we're going to pick this apart. And so tonight, what we're doing is we're dealing with it with the supernatural. Okay, before we go any further and start thinking about Scripture and God's promises and all the wonderful things that we're going to do, we have to deal with this spiritually. Now, we're laying a spiritual groundwork first. And we are going to talk about identity, and we're going to talk about the fear of God. And we're going to talk about fear of the supernatural. We're going to talk about a couple of different things, okay? And we're going to unpick this over time. I don't think it's going to be a six-month series, but it'll be more than four sermons, okay? So, I'm quite old. Many years ago, when Grace and Joe were just little things, I went to a conference in Tacoma, and you know, many people in the church have been to this particular church, and they run they used to run freedom conferences. Okay, so you would go and you would basically learn about spiritual warfare and authority and power and strongholds and really amazing time. And I went to a conference for like 3 days, and on the last day they said. They had a whole lot of prayer teams, and they said, today's about couples, and we want to pray over your marriages, and we want to pray against fear. We want to go after fear in marriages. And I was there alone. Kath was back in England with the kids, but I still went up because I wanted to see what they might say, and they prayed for me, and they prayed for Kath, and they. They raised some things prophetically. They said that we just sense the Lord saying that you have fear in these areas. And they were all right. And so I prayed through those. I repented of them. Because generally, fears are built on lies, okay? Almost always, fear is built on lies. And prayed through it. An amazing experience. I felt so free afterwards. Felt such a burden lifted. And the next day it was a couple of days later, I was flying back home. And so I'd had a bit of time to think about this. And I'd been there for, a couple of days, but this last prayer had really impacted me more than anything else. And I spent so much time thinking, how am I going to communicate this to my wife? How am I going to communicate freedom to her? How am I going to communicate how we mustn't fear anymore? And what if she doesn't listen to me? And what if she doesn't believe me? And, all of these things. Because, she's bright and intelligent and stubborn. So I get home with this plan to convince her to pray with me. And obviously we have kids and, what's life when you've got kids? You don't get to pray for the first day and then second day rolls around. And there was this curious thing that I noticed that she was different. She had changed. And after two or three days of trying to pray, we eventually got time to sit down, and I said to her, I wanted to pray with you. I wanted to lead you into this area of freedom that I sense the Lord has for us, but we already have it. Like, you have already changed. And it was one of the clearest moments in my life where I've seen the supernatural have an impact in the natural. That I prayed something over me and over my marriage in Tacoma, and God broke something in me to do with fear. He broke fear in me. And whatever it was in me was causing my wife to react in ways. That, they weren't terrible, but there was just an unease, that something wasn't godly in our marriage. And when I got home, it was gone. And whatever I had prayed in Tacoma in the supernatural, God had gone and done over my wife in England. And I saw the effect of prayer across time and space. And it was such a powerful lesson. And tonight, I want us to unpick what is to go after the spiritual. I'm going to go to some maybe interesting scripture here tonight, okay? So bear with me. This is what the Lord has put on my heart. If you want to follow with me, I'm going to skip because it's a long reading, but Exodus 3. I think I had 5 pages. It's such a long interaction, Moses and the burning bush. I'm going to leave out some sections. I just want to focus on what I believe the Lord is saying to us. So Exodus 3, I'm going to read from verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. But Moses said to God, from verse 11, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" I'm going to Exodus 4. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Going down to verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he also is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs." Now, I've skipped over there, his hand becoming leprous and becoming clean, and God saying he was going to do even more miracles. So we have this incredible testimony of Moses, a man meeting God. The bush is originally, first of all, described as an angel in the flames, and then God himself speaks, the "I am." Now, we know, if you've listened to any number of sermons, that "do not fear" is the most commonly stated command in Scripture. It comes up a lot. And it particularly comes up when people encounter the divine. And so it's completely natural for Moses to have an element of fear. And so that first response is natural, that he hid his face. He didn't dare look upon God. You know, and we'd probably all be like that. But then we get this really odd sequence of commands and rejection. Command and rejection. Now, and maybe we see ourselves in the story. Maybe if God asks us something, he has to ask 6 times or prove himself 7 times before we will listen to him. Which one of these for us would be enough? Would it be God saying, the I am is sending you? The creator of all things, the great God of all things is sending you? But Moses needs more. Moses is essentially hiding. He ran away from Egypt 40 years before this. He ran away a murderer. The phrase that's used for where he is the place beyond the place of the desert. Like, he's way out there. He's seriously run away. And the thing with Moses' fears, although he doesn't articulate these in his responses to the Lord, and I want to say this really carefully, because fear is built on lies. And the devil's best lies are those that are rooted in truth. His best lies are those that are rooted in truth. So Moses is coming to this conversation. He's been told, go back to Egypt. And he's coming with history, isn't he? I'm a murderer. I ran away from the king. Like, the most powerful person on the planet literally wants me dead. He's probably full of shame. He knows he was a coward. His own people rejected him. And so he's coming to this conversation with God with a whole lot of baggage. A heap load of baggage. And so even though the God of the universe is telling him to do something, the fear in him is stronger. Until God eventually gets to the point where he will obey. Okay. Now this might be a strange place to go. But you turn to Exodus 23. I was very surprised when this is where I felt God taking us tonight. Can you get that for me, Joe? Yeah. This might not make sense to you. Yeah, bring it to the front. Yeah, just so people can see it. Hopefully it'll be high enough. I don't normally have props in my sermons, okay? I'm as weirded out as you might be. Exodus 23:24. It's obviously God speaking to the Israelites, speaking to Moses. Much further on in the story. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. As God is sending the Israelites into the promised land, they are to destroy the people that oppose them. They are to destroy every vestige of their religions that they find. This is repeated in a few other places. I'll read Deuteronomy 12, verse 2. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods. On the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. He's pretty firm here, isn't he? I did not expect God to start talking to me about altars while I was preparing for this sermon. A couple of weeks ago, I was sent a prophetic word from Jaina that talked about idolatry and God calling us to give up some idols. About a week or 10 days ago, I received a prophetic word from Luke saying similar thing. And completely independently of each other. I know if you're a Taylor student that this week at Spiritual Renewal, the speaker talked about idolatry as well. So it's interesting that that's been a theme. And this might seem strange to think about fear as idolatry. But this was what I saw. If you go back to Abram, when he entered the promised land before he went to Egypt, he built altars to the Lord. Everywhere he went, everywhere God met him, he built an altar to the Lord. And I was just speaking to the Lord about this fear and the spirit of fear. And he said to me, I'm really bad at building stuff. I wish this was Lego so it would like click together. But he said to me that you consistently in your life, you have a choice. You have a choice about which voice you're listening to. And then in a kind of way that was really scary to me, he said, you have a choice which altar you build. So the thing with the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the other ites and their Baal worship and their worship of, various gods, which often involved things like child sacrifice, killing. These are not nice places. And the image of creating an altar and sacrificing something on an altar is to say, I'm building this thing, I'm building it with rocks, stones, and when I built it and I built essentially a table on which there's a feast and I will sacrifice and spill blood on this table, and it is my expectation that the God that I worship will come and feast at this table. And so these gods are welcomed by sacrifice, human sacrifice and other sacrifices. And that image I didn't find particularly comforting. And then I just felt the Lord saying, every time you're experiencing fear, you have this choice that you can believe what is spoken in fear. Moses, you're a murderer. Or God saying, I am the great I am. Moses, I'm full of shame. God saying, I will be with you. Moses saying, I am not eloquent, I don't know what to say. And God says, I will give you the words, for I will be with you. And in that Moses, the moment, Moses has this choice. And all of us have this choice. That when we believe something that is orientated in a lie, you know, you're not clever enough. You've been rejected. Your parents didn't love you. You're just going to get hurt. You'll never be good enough. We build these altars. And like I said at the beginning, none of this is to blame us. But I started to feel the Lord's wrath towards this construction. Because Jesus came that we would have freedom. That we would believe his promises. And I remember when I went for my original design prayer, where people asked the Lord, how did he see me? It was so powerful. And one of the things that they did in that prayer time was they said, like, here's actually what you believe about yourself, and this is what the Lord is saying. And so they took those bricks and they shifted them. And they said, you're a worshiper and the Lord loves your worship. And they said, the Lord has given you ears to hear his voice and you have a prophetic gifting. And they said, as you walk with the Lord, he will teach you how to listen to the Spirit's voice. And he said, you're a good father. You're a good father. And over again, they built these things. They said these things to me. And it built something powerful. Until you get this altar to the Lord that he wants to build in our lives of truth. As I read that story in Deuteronomy, sorry, in Exodus, Genesis, the first one. Let's just read this first, actually. Go back to Exodus. No, to 34, right towards the end of Exodus. So last thing I'll say, and then we'll move on. So this is 34. I'm reading from verse 33. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil in his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the man who wouldn't look at the burning bush because he didn't dare look at the presence of God. And we go forward 30 chapters, and here he is. He is so glorified by the presence of God that he has to cover himself before man. But when he goes before God, he lifts the veil so he can talk to God face to face. The transformation is incredible. And I was reading this beginning part of Exodus, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, when I called Moses at the burning bush, I was calling the Moses of chapter 33. I was calling the Moses that I made. I already knew Moses who would talk to me face to face. I knew Moses who was a man of courage who would lead my people. I knew the Moses who was free of the baggage and the shame of his youth. And that's the Moses I spoke to at the bush. And you know, we've heard sermons about, you know, Gideon hiding in the winepress and God calling him, or the angel calling him courageous. God speaking to who we are, who he's made us to be. Not who we might be in this moment. Because the amazing thing about God is that even if those lies which the enemy speaks to us, even if there's a semblance of truth, even if we've messed up, the greatest truth is that God can redeem anything and everything. That he can work all things for good for those who love him and are called in Christ Jesus. There is nothing beyond his redemption. And the truth is that he has incredible purposes for us to fulfill. And that's not incredible in human terms, maybe for some of us, yes. But the greatest purpose, intimacy with him. Face to face with him. That Moses of the Old Testament was able to look at God face to face. Moses, who denied God, who said he was weak, who said he couldn't speak, who was scared, becomes the one who looks at God face to face. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the promise that the Lord has for us. to be unveiled before him. And I felt the Lord saying tonight that he wanted to break down some altars. Okay? They may be big altars, they may be really small. And my wife and souls are going to hand these pieces of paper out. I want us to just have a moment before the Lord. You might have a really clear sense in your heart already of a particular fear that you want the Lord to break. A fear that you have wrestled with that is kind of energized and strong in your life. That's normally a sign that it's spiritual. Okay. The pieces of paper they're handing out are checklists from that ministry in Tacoma. These are all things that have come out of prayer times. This is about 7 pages reduced to 2. Okay. But sometimes fears can actually be quite subtle. And there may be things that we don't think of fears where actually the Lord is saying, this is not my way. So as we pray and listen to the Holy Spirit, you don't have to read this checklist, you don't have to look at it, but it might be helpful. Okay? It might be helpful for you to say, oh, wow, actually I see that in my life. I don't want that anymore. Okay? So we're going to take a few minutes to pray. If you want to go through the checklist, do just like make a mark if it applies to you, or just write down or remember if there's a key thing in your life that you know the Lord wants to go after. Okay, and then we're going to pray together. So let me just pray as we do this. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want to have only altars to you in our life. So I pray, Holy Spirit, would you speak to us now? Would you tell us if there are any fears that you want to get rid of tonight? Fears that are spiritually rooted and spiritually empowered. I pray, Lord, you will speak to your children now. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I hope that's been enough time to go through the list. Think about fear. If there's certain lies that we believe, certain fears that we have, and we'll probably talk about this more on another Sunday, but fear itself can become an idol. Okay, so I use the analogy of an altar. But fear itself becomes idolatrous, because fear of all things, it's so easy for it to capture our attention. It becomes the thing that we focus our time, our energy, our effort on, rather than the Lord. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pray, okay? We all have authority by virtue of Jesus' blood and by virtue of his spirit that he has placed inside of us. And so there are quite often times when we will ask the Lord to do something spiritual, and he will say, well, actually, I gave you the authority to do it yourself. And I'm with you, and you may use my name. And so we're going to pray through what we call the four R's, okay? We're going to do that now, but I want you to remember that this is a really useful tool for you to carry out throughout the week. You know, carry it with you. That if at some stage during the week you get a word or a sentence or a thought, something in your head that has to do with fear, you do this again. Don't let it linger. Don't let it torment you. Take authority over it and kill it. Okay. Kill it. So the four R's, there's different ways of doing this, okay? And this is just a useful way to remember. We repent of the things. We repent of the lies or the fears that we've been walking in. Okay? This is not us saying it's our fault. Okay, but this is a really vital spiritual transaction. That when we don't walk in the truth of God, we give Satan essentially the legal right to hound us. Okay? And so when we repent, we are saying, Jesus, I am sorry for believing lies over your truth. And we just speak the blood of Christ over those parts of our lives. And that's it. It's not a long prayer. Jesus' forgiveness is instant and immediate and guaranteed. Okay? So we repent. And we rebuke. Okay? I'm probably going to forget one of the R's. Sorry, yes. Once you have, this is a small thing, but it's funny how we don't do it. Once you have repented, actually physically receive forgiveness. Tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, I receive forgiveness. Like, speak that out. Because you're not speaking to people around you, you're speaking into the supernatural, into the spiritual. Okay? So receive forgiveness. And then you're going to rebuke whatever it is that you're praying. In this case, we are praying against fear. So we are going to rebuke lies of fear or spirits of fear, is it however you feel led to pray. Okay? To rebuke, and then we replace. The analogy which Jesus, or the story Jesus says, that when the strong man is bound and he is rebuked, then he has to be replaced by something that is good, otherwise he returns. Okay? And so we replace with scripture. And there's a few scriptures on this note that you can take with you. And I'll read one, my favorite one from Isaiah, which I read last week. But we replace those fears, those lies, with the truth of scripture. And there may be things that the Lord has said about you that have been said to you prophetically, and those too are truths that you can use, that you can speak over yourself, and you're speaking into the supernatural. Okay. Okay. Once I'm praying, or? Okay, do you want to? Yeah.
Green. This is just something that I have realized. When we first checked this particular worksheet in about 2006, I think it was.
Nine.
Seven.
Eight.
No.
It's a long time ago.
Six. Nick looked at his sheet, and then he looked at the person next to him's sheet. He kind of, and he was like, I marked almost all of them. And then he started feeling like he was losing, and the guy next to him was winning. Like, he has a competitive spirit. So he hates the checkboxes. And then he said, like, he was tempted and felt a whole lot of pride when he could, like, do a checkbox list and only have two things. So I rebuked him for that. I think the point of these things is it can feel a lot like doing those really bad questionnaires in, like, Cosmopolitan magazines. You guys don't have magazines. We used to do, like, BuzzFeed quiz. Yeah, that's it. Like, which interior decorator style are you, kind of thing. It's not like that. So just put away the whole thing that a quiz has or a checkbox, because it has these connotations. And I just wanted to say, this is a tool that I found really helpful, because when somebody just says to you, hey, you probably have fear in your life, you should pray against that. Ask the Lord what things you have about, you know, what fears you have. I go completely blank. I have no idea. I don't know what is a sign of fear. I know that I feel fear, but I don't know what about. It's just, so these checklists are really helpful to pull out behaviors and thoughts and just random daily stuff that could be a sign that you are walking in fear. It doesn't mean that you are, okay? So number one, if you checked almost every box, that's fine. There's some boxes there that I could have checked because I have, like, patterns of behavior, but I tend to be aware of those and walk out of them, right? I think what's really important tonight is, number one, the Lord wants to speak to you about where you're at today and the specific things in your life right now that are preventing you from knowing the truth about who you are and also what He has for you. And the second thing is, this will change throughout your life, and you might come back in 10 years and have different boxes that you check. Why? Because we get hurt. Things happen. We lose friends and family through no fault of anyone. It's living in the world. We get hurt. And when we get hurt, we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to start believing things about ourselves and the world and about God that aren't true. And over time, those things can build up into, like what Nick said, an altar in our heart to fear. So what the Lord is trying to do tonight is, He's not saying, oh, you're all been worshiping idols. What He's saying is, let's dismantle some of those things that could turn out to be an area in your life that you can't get away from. And it's not a race. It's not, now we're going to say the prayer and then you won't have to check the boxes anymore. It's not like that. This is a journey with the Lord, and He's using this to help speak to you and to help identify things just in a gentle way that you can walk in through the week and be aware of. So when you do see that in the week and you have that's something I prayed about on Sunday, the Lord is speaking to you. He's saying, hey, let's take away that part of the altar. Let's put this in its place. This is what I speak over you right now. Okay, does that make sense? You don't have to feel like you have to, somehow you can measure success in this. This is about a journey with the Lord, and the success is stepping into the journey with Him.
I don't want that. Well, thank you, Kath. And on that note, these scriptures that are on the sheet, as we were praying about tonight and also just about this whole series, we're going to look at identity and some of the amazing truths in scripture next week. But take these and sit with them and the Lord this week. We have just such a strong sense that the Lord wants to meet with us and minister to us through His word and through His presence. Okay, so be expectant to meet Him. So let's pray now. And can you stand up? Because we don't do spiritual warfare sitting down. Well, you can, but... All right, let's pray. As we pray, I want you to picture Jesus in your minds. And Jesus says that he is the perfect representation of the Father. And his eyes are full of love and authority. And he is always welcoming. And he is always kind and he is always loving. And that is who we pray to, and that is whose authority we pray with. The one who desires for us to be free. We do not twist the Lord's arm when we pray this. We step into his will. His will to bring freedom. So Lord Jesus, our King, and our Savior, we ask you to forgive us for every lie of fear that we have believed. For everywhere that we have allowed fear to have dominion over your promises and over your word, to be a greater reality to us than your promises. And Lord, I know that in many cases, these are things because of what people have done to us and hardships that we faced. So Jesus, we lay those moments, we lay those people at your feet. And we pray your forgiveness over them. And we release forgiveness to them. And we receive your forgiveness, Lord Jesus. We receive your blood that washes us clean. And now, as we rebuke, if there was a particular checkbox, if there was a particular aspect to fear that the Lord really highlighted, I want you to think about that. So in the name of Jesus, we take authority over fear. And the power and authority of Jesus that he has given to us, we bind the spirit of fear. We bind lies of fear. And we rebuke them. We rebuke them from our lives and we order them to the feet of Jesus. The Lord, you will deal with these lies. You will deal with these spirits. And we declare, Lord Jesus, that you did not design us to be fearful. You have said, Father, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. You have said that there is no fear in love. And you have said that you will keep him, you will keep her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And we remember your promise, the promise of your word, Lord Jesus, that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And there is nothing that can separate us from the truth of your word. So Jesus, in the power of your name and by your Spirit, I pray for your freedom and your peace to fill our hearts. That where there has been a lie, Lord Jesus, where that has been broken off, that you will fill that lie with truth. That you will replace it with your truth. Lord, let your children taste freedom, that they will go from this place and they will deliver freedom to those around them. That they will be sensitive to the lies of fear that they hear spoken around them. That they will be agents of your kingdom, Lord Jesus. So I pray that you would increase discernment, Lord. That you would increase our ability to hear you, Holy Spirit. That we would minister freedom by your name, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask these things in your name. I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are ever and always for us and for our freedom. Yeah, Lord, I just pray especially finally for those who have had a particular fight with fear, that it has marked them. Lord, I pray that the freedom that they experience will be so strong that they will see vengeance on fear in other people. That they will rejoice in the vengeance of their God. That what the enemy meant for ill, Lord, would you use it for your kingdom and for your glory, for the freedom of those around us. We ask these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.